Welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to episode number 15 of the Essential Tennis Podcast. The Essential Tennis Podcast is dedicated to everybody who loves tennis and who wants to improve their tennis game. Through getting good advice on a podcast or on a blog, and through working hard and implementing that advice, you can improve your tennis. And that's why Essential Tennis is here. I want to help as many people as possible improve their tennis game and further enjoy the game that they love to play. Well, it's great to be back, and I'm sorry that I missed last week, the podcast. I really missed doing it. And I've been looking forward to recording this one a great deal. I've gotten a lot of great questions as I've been gone, and I'm looking forward to taking care of some of those today. Before we get to the content of today's show, I just want to let you guys know of a couple programming changes that are going to be taking place starting this week. Instead of doing a one-hour show per week, I'm going to start breaking that up a little bit and doing two slightly shorter shows. Actually, I'm going to cut them in half. I'm going to be doing 2 half-hour shows per week starting this week. I'm going to release one on Monday and one on Thursday of each week starting this week, and they'll both be about 30 minutes long. I'm also going to start doing a couple new segments in the show. Instead of only having question and answer and sometimes having a guest on the show, we're going to have a couple different segments that are going to be reoccurring. I'm still going to have question and answer, so definitely still send me your questions if you have a specific problem with your technique or your mental game, or for equipment, or maybe for strategy. Let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And even if I don't use your question on the podcast, I will get back to you and try to help you out as best I can. Besides that, we're going to continue having Dr. Jack on the program doing sports medicine. That's been popular, and I think it's a great asset to everybody who's been listening to the podcast. I'm also going to start having Jeremy Plumley, who's a master racket technician. He's been writing our equipment review blog and doing a great job with that. I'm going to start having him on the show as well, and we're going to be talking about rackets and strings, shoes and clothing. Anything having to do with tennis equipment, we're going to start having a little talk maybe once a week or so, and that's going to be part of the show as well. Also, there's going to be a focus topic each week. That's going to be a topic of my choice that I'm just going to spend about 15 minutes on and talk about. It could be just something that I've been thinking about that I want to talk to you guys about that I think will be helpful, or it could be a topic brought up by a listener through a question. Or maybe in a certain week I'll get a bunch of questions on a certain topic, and I'll just kind of put them all together into the focus topic. So we'll have at least 4 segments, and each show will be a combination of those 4. I'm looking forward to doing this a little bit differently and kind of treating it more like a regular radio show rather than just question and answer segments just with myself.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus Topic of the Week.
All right, the Essential Tennis Focus Topic of the Week this week is battling physical and mental tension and anxiety in your tennis game. This is a topic that I've taken from the forums at EssentialTennis.com. There's been a discussion there on mental topics in general and on being tense and anxious during play, during match play, and even during practice. And by the way, if you haven't signed up for the Essential Tennis forums already, let me encourage you to do that at EssentialTennis.com. We're having lots of great discussions over there. Go on over and take part. It's been a lot of fun so far. I'm going to start off with a quote from one of our posters at the forums, Rich. Rich posted a statement that a lot of us can relate to. He said, the mental side of tennis can drive a person crazy. And I can raise my hand and say amen to that. That's something that I've dealt with personally. And really a lot of us have. If you care about tennis, and I assume you do, since you're listening to me right now, if you care about tennis and you're passionate about it and you want to do well at it, then when you go out and perform, when you go and actually play a match that counts, it's human nature to feel some pressure there, because you want to win. You want to do well. It's something you care about, and you want to do your best every time you go out. So anytime you do something you care about and it counts, pressure is added there. And really, when it comes down to it, it's something we put on ourselves. It's self-inflicted. It could be something from our past that brings up these feelings of tension and anxiety. But really, we have to take responsibility for those feelings that we have. And this is part of why it can be so frustrating, because, you know, we want to be relaxed. We want to do our best, obviously. That's why we're out there. And yet, when you have a history and a pattern of going out and being nervous, it can be very debilitating. And so it's very, very frustrating, and it's something that I've personally dealt with. And a comment that I've gotten over and over about this is so many recreational players don't realize how common this is. So if you feel pressure and you feel tension when you go out and play, and if it causes you sometimes to lose, don't feel badly. Don't think that you're the only person out there who deals with this. A lot of recreational players deal with this from day to day. It's a common thing. So we're going to go over this quickly. We got about 5-6 minutes left here, and I'm going to talk about what causes it and also different solutions and suggestions that I can give to you guys to help deal with this. First of all, like I said before, when you do something that matters to you, you can add pressure. And it's something that's self-inflicted. Other things that can add pressure or will cause you to put pressure on yourself is the desire to win. Some people think winning is everything. And, you know, on the surface, we may know it's not the case. Somebody's going to lose, and there's no shame in losing. As long as you tried your best and you went out and fought, you can't always win. So you don't have to win. And you certainly won't always win. You're going to lose part of the time. And so pressuring yourself to have to win every time is kind of an expectation that's not realistic. And a lot of people put pressure on themselves to have to win. And the fear of losing can really cripple them. Some people also have a desire to please others. If you play on a team, on a USTA team, or if you're playing doubles, a lot of people feel pressure to have to please their partner or please their teammates. Also, other people struggle with anxiety or tension that's linked to a childhood experience. Maybe your parents kind of pressured you and forced you into doing a sport or an activity, and they were very intense, kind of tried to live through you and put a lot of pressure on you to have to do well. And if you didn't win, they were disappointed in you. And that's an experience that a lot of times is held over to adulthood. And it's something that can cause pressure, something from your past. When you put pressure on yourself, physical things happen. Your muscles tighten up. It's called tension or anxiety. Mentally and physically, you get tight. When your muscles get tight and they're not relaxed, they do not function properly. It breaks down your technique. Whatever good technique that you've worked hard to accomplish, it's not going to happen if you let yourself get tight and tense. Anything that you've learned through the course of repetition and practice, it's going to break down. So mental anxiety leads to physical tightness, and that's what causes us to lose and break down. It also causes rushing when you're on the court. When you're feeling nervous and tight, the tendency is to rush what you're doing. It's hard to slow down. Once you kind of get trapped in a cycle of you lose a point, You get nervous. Oh shoot! What if I lose this match? This person's not very good. You rush. You play the next point. You lose that one, and it kind of builds on top of itself. And before you know it, the match is completely over, and you just wonder what just happened. It can cause mental rushing. It also causes poor judgment. Tension does. You'll go for shots that you haven't really practiced that you know are low percentage, and it's not the shot you should be going for. And that poor judgment leads to errors. And unforced errors is how you beat yourself. And this is kind of what we were discussing in the forum discussion, was Rich posted and said he was losing to people that, you know, were good players. They were respectable players, but he knew that he could have won. He could have won. He had the lead. I believe it was in a tiebreaker. All he had to do was win the last point or the last 2 points. He was up by several points in a tiebreaker, and all of a sudden he gets nervous and it's just all over. All of a sudden he starts rushing and physically he gets tight, and then it's just done all of a sudden. And this is something that all of us have experienced at least once or twice, if not over and over. So Rich, don't feel badly about it. It's something that we all struggle with, but you have to realize that a lot of times it's self-induced. It's inflicted by ourselves through the pressure that we put on ourselves to have to win. Now, suggestions for improving. I want you guys to specifically practice hitting relaxed. There should not be very much tension in your body as you make your strokes. So when you go out and you practice, whether it's a cross-court rally with ground strokes, first of all, you should always be doing some kind of controlled hitting with a partner to do your practice. Practicing your strokes and practicing different patterns of play. As you're doing that, Rich and anybody else who struggles with this kind of thing, specifically practice being relaxed as you make your swings and feel what it's like to hit with a relaxed body. You'll get more result out of your effort, more result from your swing. It'll be a better shot with less effort. Your body is more efficient when your muscles are relaxed. So it's important you go out and practice that and see what it feels like so that when you get into a match situation, you can purposefully try to go back to that and tell yourself to relax and do what you've practiced. Something tells me, Rich, you probably haven't practiced specifically being relaxed within actually practicing your strokes. Go and do that. I bet it'll help you. Also, practice playing under pressure. Whenever you go and play a practice game, whether it's maybe just a baseline game, you're dropping and just hitting a courtesy feed and playing a game to 11 or 21, put something on it. Whether it's just push-ups, you know, play for 20 push-ups. Whoever loses has to do push-ups or sit-ups or maybe a sprint, or play for a Gatorade when you and your partner are done. Whoever loses 2 out of 3 baseline games has to buy Gatorade for both of you. Whatever. It doesn't have to be anything big, but put something on it so that there's kind of some added pressure that you can practice playing against. It's important to have experience in pressure situations. That way, when you go and play your next match, it doesn't sneak up on you and surprise you. You're able to deal with it because you've experienced it before, and you can practice playing in that pressure situation. Also, practice having a routine. You see the pros, they have their little idiosyncrasies. They like to fix their strains. They'll go back and ask for a towel. They'll towel off their grip or their face or their hands, and you'll see them do it in the same way again and again, and especially after big points. When you see a big blowout match, one pro is way up and another one is way down, you won't really see this. The players will just kind of go from side to side, and just it's kind of a formality. When you see a close match on TV, you see very quickly each pro has their specific things that kind of put them in a comfortable groove. They kind of get into a pattern where they're most comfortable, fixing their strains, again, using the towel, maybe jumping up and down, you know, bouncing back and forth. These are all things that you can get into a routine and a rhythm that makes you comfortable and forces you to slow down and relax. So find a routine that works for you. The last thing I'll suggest is keep your eyes and your thoughts down on the court and present. Don't let your eyes wander around in between points, certainly not during points. Your focus should be on the ball during points, and in between points, keep your eyes down, either on your racket, on the court. Don't let them wander around and look at spectators that might be watching or look at your opponent and worry about them. Keep your eyes down and stay relaxed and focused. And keep your thoughts present, not in the future or in the past. What do you need to do this next point in order to win? That's going to lead you towards the most success. All right. Well, I went over a lot of stuff there. Really, that's a topic that has been covered numerous times in books and DVDs, and it's something that I would like to do an audio series on at some point. Until then, I have for sale on my website an incredible book. It's called Mental Tennis. It's written by Vic Braden, who's a sports psychologist. It helped me a lot when I was competing often. And Rich and anybody else who struggles with this, I highly recommend picking that book up. So head on over to EssentialTennis.com. It'll be well worth your while. Several people have purchased it from the website already, and without exception, I've gotten great feedback back from everybody who's purchased it. It's just a huge help.
And now it's time for Essential Tennis Q&A.
All right, our first question from a listener today comes from Philip C. Philip writes, and he has a question about fitness and gaining strength and quickness for your tennis game. He says, as a young working professional, I'm finding that my foot speed and flexibility are the first things to go for me. I find that it takes a considerable amount of gym time to get my core and conditioning where I'd like it to be. The only problem is finding the motivation to grind out at the gym instead of packing up the ball machine and hitting. What has helped motivate you to spend the needed time at the gym? What exercises can you recommend to make strength building and conditioning more fun? Philip. Well, great question, Philip. And you know what? This is something that I think a lot of people deal with, is that, you know, we love the sport of tennis. We love to go out and actually hit the ball and play. But I would venture to say that most of us tennis enthusiasts have a hard time being motivated to go to the gym. And I can definitely relate to you personally there. Back in college, when I was playing very seriously and it was just kind of what I did, even then I had problems being motivated to go and lift. Even though if I didn't lift, I had problems. I had shoulder issues when I was in college. And if I didn't really keep everything strong, I would have pain and I would have problems. And even then, I wasn't completely motivated. The number one tip I can give you, at least from myself personally, is that finding a partner to work with you is going to be probably the biggest motivator that you can find. Once you get somebody who you're accountable to, the two of you kind of hold each other accountable to help the other person out, stay motivated, and to go and push each other and to work with each other, I think that's the most powerful tool that you can find to help yourself stay in good shape and to be motivated to go work out. So find a partner. And the nice thing is, it doesn't even have to be somebody who is at the same level as you tennis-wise. You can still both benefit from working out together and keeping each other sharp and on task. Once you get a partner, find specific times during the week. If you could work out 3 times a week, that would be outstanding. Even 2 times a week would probably be enough, but more than that would be great. Now, as far as specific exercises that you can do, all you need is a tennis court and a medicine ball, like a 10 or 15 pound medicine ball, and you can really do a full body workout very easily, specifically for tennis. There's lots of great medicine ball workouts to help you strengthen your core. I did a lot of that back in college when I was playing, again, more seriously. Using the medicine ball, there's a lot of different throws you can use with a partner, using both hands in your core to rotate, kind of mimicking a tennis swing, rotating your core and throwing the ball up into the air over to your partner who's maybe 10 feet away, maybe 15 feet, and just throwing back and forth using a long, smooth range of motion using the resistance of a medicine ball can be a really great core workout. There's lots of different throws to work different parts of your body and different parts of your core. Another great thing to do with a medicine ball is medicine ball sit-ups. And I did a lot of these with a partner back in college as well. Your partner will stand on your feet, on your toes, when you're sitting down in a kind of a sit-up position. And they'll be holding that medicine ball, again, about 10 pounds or so. And maybe 5-10 pounds, depending on how strong you are. And your partner will then toss the ball to you so that you can catch it back over your head as you go down onto your back. Make sure that you have some padding below you or even just a towel to protect your back. But your partner will kind of toss underhand softly to you back behind you the ball. You'll catch it with your hands over your head as you go down. And then you will sit up and throw the ball back to your partner, again, who is standing on your toes up above you. And so you can repeat that over and over, your partner dropping the medicine ball down over your head, you're catching it on the way down, embracing it, and then sitting back up and throwing the ball back to your partner. And very quickly, that becomes a really solid core workout for your abs. So that together with the throws, rotating back and forth, again, using a long range of motion, right there is enough to work out most of your core. And there's lots of other exercises as well using medicine balls that you can find online. It's pretty easy to find that type of thing. But again, I think the key is finding a partner, finding somebody who also wants to increase their strength and somebody who's going to be excited about going out and who wants to spend the time improving themselves. And then you can go out and motivate each other and keep each other accountable to continuing to get strong. Another great thing to do, you mentioned foot speed. One of my favorite things to do to work on quickness is called chase sprints. And the way that you do a chase sprint is you set up a specific distance. Maybe you go and touch the fence of the tennis court, and your partner will lay down in front of you about 10 feet away. Or you can have them start from a sitting position facing you, and you're going to start touching the fence or a wall with your hand. The person who's sitting or laying down says go, and both of you sprint to a predetermined location, and you're trying to catch your partner before he can get up and get to that spot. And so both of you are sprinting. The person who's laying down is challenging the person who started off touching the fence, and both people are kind of have a goal, and it's competitive. You're trying to beat the other person out, maybe to the end of the court, or to a predetermined spot. It should be about a 5 or 10 second sprint, nothing more than 10 seconds. If the person who is sitting or laying down gets away from the person who started standing, then you move that person a little bit closer. And so the sitting person or the person who's laying down gets closer and closer until the person who starts off standing against the wall can finally catch them. And so you mark that spot and then trade positions. And then the person who is standing goes and sits down or lays down and tries to get up and get away from the person who started off standing. That's called the chase sprint. So one person is chasing the other person. And again, it's a great way. It's competitive. It's fun. It's a way to get a great workout, working on your quickness and your agility. And if you're as competitive as me, it goes by very quickly. It's just a lot of fun, especially when you're working with somebody who's also competitive. And it's a great way to work on your conditioning and your quickness. So hopefully that gives you some idea of ways you can work out with a partner, Philip. And there's lots of other things to do to work on strength and on quickness. It's something I should really, I'm going to start doing video lessons soon, and I'll do a video lesson on different workouts you can do just on a tennis court. You don't need special equipment unless you call a medicine ball special equipment. If you just have a tennis court and a partner, and a couple of small pieces of equipment here and there, you can really get a great workout just working with a partner.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com. And now, back to the show.
Our next question today comes from Greg in Texas. Greg wrote to me and said, "The serve in general is my weakest link and is what has lost me every match that I did lose in this season. I can hit a decent serve with pretty good technique in practice, continental grip, bent knees, pronating, etc. But come match time, it's like I'm a beginner. I have a solid 4.0 ground stroke game and a serve that's a 3.0 under pressure. What's the weakest part of all when it comes to my serve is actually my toss. Under pressure, it becomes so erratic. I'm chasing balls everywhere. I can't seem to control my tossing arm under match pressure. I practice my toss a lot, but once again, it has become so mental for me. I do lose rhythm on my serve in general, also because I'm too tense with it. I'm even considering seeing a psychologist about it." Greg in Texas. Greg and I sent several emails back and forth, and this is the gist of his problem. He's just having a lot of issues with his toss, and he can't seem to control his toss. And it's become such a problem for him now that he's double-faulting whole games away. And really, it's just become an issue with nerves at this point. Greg, I'm going to give a couple of tips here on practicing and on technique, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about the mental side of it specifically. First of all, anybody who has problems with their toss, the first thing I'm going to tell them is they need repetition. Repetition builds confidence. The more and more you accomplish a task, and the more effectively you're able to accomplish the task over and over, the more confidence you're going to have in being able to accomplish that task. And that carries over to your match play. That's the ultimate thing you can do, is go to a match and be able to confidently reproduce a certain skill again and again. That's the best feeling in the world, to be able to accomplish something like that when it actually counts. What I tell people to do in terms of practice is either take their racket and put it down by their feet, set yourself up in a serving position, pretend you've got the baseline in front of you. You don't even need a court, but put the racket down. If you're right-handed, your racket should be about 6 or 8 inches in front of your left foot and about 6 or 8 inches to the right of your left foot as you're setting up, pretending that you have a baseline in front of you. Or if you are on a tennis court, about 6 inches in front of the baseline and about 6 inches to the right of your left foot as you're setting up. Then take your left hand and toss. Pretend like you're going back to start your serve, but just practice your toss. Make sure you put it up high enough that you can reach up and make contact the way you normally would with a fully extended right arm. And just let the ball drop and see where it bounces. It should bounce within about a ball width of the racket face. Hitting the strings of the racket is a perfect toss. Anything within about a ball width of the racket head, of the face, is a good toss. And keep on doing that until you can do 6 or 8 tosses in a row that bounce within a ball width or so of the frame, of the head, of the racket. You can also do basically the same thing against a wall. If you go and position yourself in front of a wall, pretending that the wall is the baseline, so you're going to set yourself up about perpendicular with your feet to the wall, but with enough space that you can toss right up against it without the ball touching the wall. And if you can, put a little mark using some tape up on the wall so that it's high enough where you could make contact with the ball, so that your dominant arm is nice and extended. You're making a full reach. And then using that wall as a guide, just toss up a wall on the wall so that the ball is going up next to it, up high enough that you could make a turn and a reach and hit nice and high. And the ball should not deviate from the wall. So the ball should be going up against the wall to that spot that you've marked on the wall, and then come back down again without the ball floating away from the wall or bouncing up against the wall or going very much right or left. And that's a good way to get immediate feedback. You can immediately see what your toss is doing. If it's floating away from you or towards you or to the right or to the left, you can immediately see that against the wall in relationship to the mark that you've made. And it gives you good feedback, and you can get good repetition that way. Now, as far as technique goes, your shoulder should be lifting the ball. Your arm, your forearm, and your hand and your wrist should be loose and relaxed. There should be no tension there in your arm, and you should be using your shoulder to lift the ball. When people have an erratic toss, in my experience, most likely it's from using the hand or the wrist or the arm to bend and throw the ball upwards. And every time you create a bend in your wrist or in your elbow, that causes usually the ball to float off in another direction other than up. What you want to do is keep your arm straight but relaxed, and use your shoulder to lift the ball up into the air without using your hand or your forearm to throw the ball upwards. And so you want to lift the ball up smoothly with the big muscles of your body, your shoulder, and keep the small muscles of your body, your hand and your forearm, relaxed. They should be loose and relaxed. That's the best technique for tossing a ball under control. Now, Greg and I sent several emails back and forth, and I came to find out that he has practiced a lot his toss. He's dedicated to this, and he's spent a lot of time trying to get this monkey off his back, and yet it continues to keep getting worse. He's a pretty good athlete. He's been playing tennis for a while, but this toss problem just keeps on bugging him. And Greg, I feel for you. I understand. You know, I know this is driving you crazy because it's a simple thing, and it seems like, you know, to yourself, you think, wow, I should be able to handle this. This shouldn't be that hard. And yet you go to a match and it continues to bug you more and more. Greg, I'm positive that you just have a lot of tension in your entire body. Mentally, you're tight because you're not confident. And so that goes and travels throughout your body. And physically, you're tight. The toss, it's a small motor skill, and it takes touch. It takes control. And so if your body is tight, you will have no touch. And your muscles are tensed up because your mind is tense, because you're not confident about it. And then it keeps on compounding on top of itself. You put that first bad toss, or you hit that first bad serve, and then you're even more anxious and tight on the next one. And so it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. You need to go out and practice and force yourself to stay relaxed. That's the biggest tip I can give you. And you even say in your email, you're so tense. You need to get rid of that immediately. Go out without even having a target or even caring where the toss goes, and see how relaxed you can get your body to be when you make your toss. Relaxing your body is going to make your toss more consistent. It's going to make it more confident, and it's going to improve the rhythm on your serve. It's going to increase your confidence in your serve overall a great deal. And everybody listening who has specific problems with a specific stroke, relaxing first always makes everything easier. Usually when we have problems with a specific stroke, when that ball starts coming at you, or in the case of the serve, when you toss it to yourself, as soon as you see that ball come at you, you're in the back of your mind, you think, oh crap, here comes the ball, I'm going to have to do this stroke again, and everything gets tense. Then you have to fight against your body, and nothing's going to work well under those conditions. So covered a lot of stuff there, technique, how to practice. And most importantly for you, Greg, you need to relax. You're a good athlete. You're a good tennis player. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do this. And that's why it's driving you so crazy. You need to go out and force yourself to loosen up and relax completely. That's going to make this whole process much easier. Okay, that brings Essential Tennis Podcast number 15 to a close. In Essential Tennis Podcast number 16, I'm going to have Dr. Jack on the show, and we're going to be discussing tennis elbow. I'm going to talk a little bit about techniques that usually lead to tennis elbow, and Dr. Jack Kripczak is going to be talking about different ways that you can treat it and let it heal, and different ways to avoid getting it in the first place. So if tennis elbow is something that you struggle with or that you want to make sure you avoid, make sure that you download Essential Tennis Podcast number 16, which is going to be released probably on Thursday night, either Thursday or Friday. And in addition to talking about tennis elbow with Dr. Jack, I'll also be answering some questions as well. So until then, have a great week. Best of luck to you and your tennis, and take care.